Thank you. It's good to see everybody this morning, and certainly thankful for the brother that has come before us this morning. And what a wonderful blessing. What a wonderful truth to understand that we do have the foundation of God's Word. And I'm reminded of what James wrote. You remember our study in James chapter 1. The Bible speaks about James saying, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, for neither tempteth he any man. Now I'm certainly thankful God doesn't lead us to sin, but indeed, as Brother Roger said, our life is full of trials and tribulations, and God will use those trials to strengthen us and build our spiritual muscles and draw us close to Him. And I'm thankful, as the brother spoke this morning, of the Word of God, which gives us hope and encouragement in the midst of trials. Yeah. If you want to turn with me this morning, we'll be in Jeremiah chapter 29. I ask that you would pray for me this morning as I try to speak from the prophet Jeremiah. And the question that I want us to look at this morning as we read God's Word, and what I hope we will ponder as we go into the new year, is what is our place in the world as a child of God? Why on earth are we here? What is our purpose as God's people? And I think that we find a time in history, and the history of the children of Israel, that gives us a wonderful example for us to explore that question this morning. Now, during this time of Jeremiah's writing, you'll remember that children of Israel had been carried away into captivity because of their disobedience to God. Much of Jeremiah's writings are warnings to Israel, and they did not heed the warnings of the prophet, that they did not heed the words of God that came through the mouth of the prophet Jeremiah. And you talk about having a difficult job. You know, the job of the gospel minister today is challenging in the climate that we live in today. And there's times when I speak and I wonder if whether or not people are listening, whether or not people are heeding what I say. Well, Jeremiah's mission was to go speak the words of God, and Jeremiah knew that they weren't going to listen. Well, everything that God said came to pass. They were carried away into captivity, and we find them under the heavy hand of the Babylonian Empire in Jeremiah chapter 29. And you say, well, how on earth does this apply to us as God's people today? Well, let me say this. I believe that the society that we live in today, the times that we live in today, are not unlike the times that Israel found themselves in while they were under Babylonian captivity. They were exiles. They were taken away from their homes. And they lived in a bad society, a divisive, fragmented society. Now that sounds like the times that we're living in today, doesn't it? Yeah. We live in a time today where what was once held as being upright, what was once held as being noble, is no longer seen that way. We live in a time indeed where many things that are wrong are called right, and many things that are right are called wrong. And I submit unto you this morning that the times that we live in today are very similar to the times that Israel found themselves in the latter writings of Jeremiah. They were in a fragmented society. They were strangers in a strange land. They lived amongst a people who did not worship the God that they worshiped. And can you imagine living in that time? And I believe that you can relate with that time and the questions that they had as far as, what on earth am I to do while in this society? What, as a child of God, what am I to do? Do you ever ask yourself that question? Well, what am I to do in this world? Think of the young families here. Some of you are starting families, recently married, about to get married, thinking about getting married. And all of those, I remember remember that time. It was a lot longer than I think about it being. But, you know, do I bring children into this world? We see all of the evil and all the wickedness. What is my obligation in this world? As a member of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, what am I to do in this world? Am I just to throw up my hands and, and adapt to the world around me? Or am I to isolate myself and just cloister myself off from everything in the world? Well, that was the question of the day when the children of Israel were carried away into captivity. And we're going to read several verses in Jeremiah chapter 29, and I pray the Lord would bless us this morning to see what the Word of God says about how we're to interact with the hostile world around us. We'll start reading Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 4. The Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon." Verse 5, "Build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and begat sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city, whether I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof ye shall have peace." Verse 8 says, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye cause to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search of me with all your heart." Now finally, verse 14, "And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive." We see in Jeremiah chapter 29, I think, a wonderful blueprint of how God wants his people to live in a fragmented, evil society. And there's nothing new under the sun, and the same questions that we face today were faced thousands and thousands of years ago amongst God's people. How do I live in a wicked and a hostile world? Now, we see that there's competing influences that being pressed upon the children of Israel. First of all, we see that the Babylonians were indeed exerting influences upon God's children. Now, you understand that the Babylonians during this time, they were arguably the most powerful army, the most powerful nation that existed at that time. They would literally steamroll over other nations, and that's really how they entered into Israel and took the children of Israel away captive. They came in and just overtook them with overwhelming might. Well, they carried a remnant of the people back to Babylon. Now, the Babylonian leadership, they could have dealt with these captives in several different ways. They could have just forced them into subjugation, forced them to bow the knee to the Babylonian Empire, to force the people to bow their knees. They could have exterminated all of the children of Israel, just wiped them all out. They had that capability, but they had people that had a lot of wisdom as far as people and getting people to follow them. What they decided to do was to assimilate those that they had conquered into Babylonian society. And we remember in the book of Daniel, that's what we see. And we see many of the young, the best and the brightest of Israel, they were wined and dined, if you will, with the good things of Babylon. That was the deal with the three Hebrew children and eating of the king's meat and them refusing to do that. And we see that they refused to do that. Well, they knew that if they could capture the hearts, especially of these young people, that within a generation they could fully assimilate this people in the Babylonian culture. In other words, they were saying, we're going to give you the best of what we have so that you will just take everything that we have and embrace it as your own. That was one competing influence amongst these people that were in captivity. Become like those that are around you. Be assimilated into the culture. Now, we understand from God's word that that's not what we're supposed to do. As God's people, we're not supposed to do that. But we see as well, and I want you to notice as well, that there's this mention of false prophets that are brought up. And over again in the book of Jeremiah, we have warnings against the false prophets. Well, apparently the false prophets, and understand this, that in any times of trials and any times of difficulty, there's always somebody willing to stand up and try to fill a power void. So what I believe the false prophets were doing, they were trying to increase their stature and increase their power by saying, no, we just need to isolate ourselves from this and just wait it all out. You know, we'll just get over here in this corner here and it'll be us four and no more and we'll just wade this storm out. Now, we'll just huddle in. We'll just focus on ourselves. Those are the two extremes. And really that's the extremes of today, isn't it? For us as God's people, as a church, those are the two extremes. We either, we have influences in both directions. We need to become more like the world around us. It's inevitable that the culture's changed. As Brother Roger mentioned in his message, you know, times have changed, languages changed, societal norms have changed. We just need to go with the flow. That was what the Babylonians were hoping would happen with the best and brightest of Israel. Well, on the other extreme, again, there were those that were seeking power for themselves that were saying, no, we just need to totally isolate ourselves from the world around us. We just need to totally close ourselves off. I'll submit unto you what God spoke through the mouth of the prophet Jeremiah is where our hearts needs to be. And again, does God say, you just cloister yourselves off and just weather the storm? Does he say, just go ahead and totally assimilate with everything in Babylon? No, he doesn't say that. But what does he say unto those that had been carried away into captivity? He says this. He says, build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Get married. Have sons and daughters. Encourage your sons and daughters to be married. And he says this, seek the peace of the city. Right. He says, whether I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof ye shall have peace. Now here's what God says to his captive people. He doesn't say, isolate yourself. Many people have tried that. Sarah and the kids and I lived up in northern Indiana. We had Amish neighbors. That was really one of the hub beliefs that they had as far as their religion was. We isolate ourselves from everybody else, and by isolating ourselves, we'll not be tempted with the sins of everybody else. Well, we made friends with Amish families up there, and they were good salt of the earth type of people. But in isolating themselves, there was only one problem. They took the sin with them. They had their own sin and their own, you know, what we like to call baggage today. They carried it with them, and they struggled with that even in their isolated communities. The other extreme, when God doesn't want us to look like the rest of the world either. But here's what Jeremiah, the word of God, through the mouth of the prophet Jeremiah, was trying to teach God's people. He says, I want you to be a city within a city. I want you to, we think of embassies today. He says, I want you to be my ambassadors. I want you to be an embassy within this city of Babylon. And he says, I want you to be fruitful. I want you to build homes. I want you to plant gardens. I want you to be fruitful. I want you to have children. I want you to encourage your children to get married. I want you to do all this for the glory of God and seek the peace of the city, whether I have caused you to be captives. Isn't that what we're called to do as God's people today? To be a city within a city, to be ambassadors of Christ here in this world. And I believe that as we go into the new year, we need to remember that. That's our responsibility as God's people. Not to totally assimilate with the world that we live in, but not isolate ourselves either. We're not to decrease, but the Word of God teaches us that we're to increase. We're to be that city within a city. Amen. I think of Matthew chapter 5 where Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. You are the city that's set out on a hill that cannot be hid." And he encourages us as God's people not to put our light under a bushel, not to put our light under a basket, but let our light so shine that we may glorify our Father which is in heaven. I think of what Jesus said, John chapter 17, the words of Jesus. He says this in his prayer to the Father. Notice what he says, John chapter 17, in verse 15, he says, "I pray not," speaking to God the Father, "I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world." He's speaking of his disciples. He's saying, "I pray, Father, that you don't take them out of the world, but that you keep them from evil." Verse 16, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." What he's saying here is that as God's people, we're to be in the world, but not of the world. And that's the great tension that we battle with. How are we to live as God's people? Well, we're not to allow the world to influence us. We're to be in the world, but not of the world. But we're also not just to sequester ourselves off from everything and live our lives in isolation. He says we're to increase. And what does that mean? Well, that means doing what God's people have strove to do for throughout history, striving to love God with all of their heart, all of their soul, and all of their mind, and loving their neighbor. Remember, that's what Jesus taught we're to do. And, you know, I think of some of the hows of that. Brother Rogers already mentioned prayer. How are we to do that? How are we to be a city within a city? How are we to be a little embassy in this world that we live in? Well, Brother Roger mentioned prayer. I tell you, as we go into the new year, we need to recommit ourselves to our prayer lives, praying that God would bless us, praying that God would strengthen us, praying that God's will would be done. As citizens of the kingdom of heaven, we all have that privilege. But I'll be the first to confess this morning, though I have that privilege to do it any time, I often neglect that gift, that blessing that God has given me. So as we go into the new year and strive to be that city within a city, we need to recommit ourselves to prayer. You know, and as you read what the prophet Jeremiah wrote here, he encourages them to pray unto the Lord. We complain about our surroundings. We complain about our political leaders. We complain about this and complain about that. Well, Jeremiah, he says, he doesn't say here that we're to build our houses and bellyache and gripe about everything that's going on around us. But what does he say again? He says, and don't forget this in verse 7, "Seek the peace of the city," and he says, "and pray unto the Lord for it." If you want to be productive going into 2018, spend less time complaining about everything that's going on. And you know, when we complain about stuff, does complaining really help anything at all? You know, we can complain about Washington. We can complain about our local leaders. We can complain about the lack of this and the lack of that in our communities and in our countries. Does that really change anything? It doesn't. You know, it might make us feel better to blow a little steam. But God says here that we're to pray for our cities. We're to seek the peace of the city. Wherever we are, we're to seek the peace. And we do that by praying unto the Lord. He says, "Pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof ye shall have peace." You know, I want peace going into the new year. I'm tired of this contention and strife that seems to permeate every level of society today. We can have that, and it comes through prayer. It comes to pouring out our hearts unto God and casting our cares upon Him. We need to do that. If we're going to be a city within a city as God's people, we have to be a praying people. We also need to remember God's redemptive love towards us as his people. Let me say this. As simple as possible, I want to say this. As God's people, our love of God needs to be greater than the things of this world. You know, I can't think of any easier or any simpler way of saying that. But if we're going to be ambassadors, if we're going to be a little embassy in this world, we need to remember what God has done for us, and we need to love our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind. He needs to be our ultimate treasure. And we need to think about that. That's something I've pondered all week long. What are my treasures in this world? Well, the things of God need to be first and foremost, and we need to honor God in doing that. And as we go into the new year, we need to remember what he's done for us and let that permeate our relationships in this place, in our homes, in our places of work, with people that we have interactions with, to remember the love of God. And remember this, when we think about the redemptive love of God, we don't need to forget that in spite of ourselves, he still loves us. Isn't that a blessing to think about? Now, you think about the children of Israel, they were carried away into captivity because of their disobedience. They suffered the judgment of God. And again, that happens. There are a lot of times we get ourselves in situations because we have not heeded God's word. But I'm thankful that even in spite of that, God still loves us. Now you think about this. Many of the children of Israel had lost their lives as the Babylonians had attacked and overrun them. They had been ripped from their homes, the only homes that they knew, that their home for generation after generation. They were pulled away from it and taken into a new land, taken into a new culture. They were pulled out of the land of promise. And they had suffered a lot, but in the midst of all of that, God still loved them. Perhaps you're going into the new year with a lot of regret. You say, well, I just think about a lot of decisions I made this year that were terrible decisions. I disobeyed God's word. I got myself into all of these messes. Well, the wonderful blessing, remember God's redemptive love. As a citizen of the kingdom of God, he loves us in spite of ourselves. The Bible says he loves us with an everlasting love. That just pours off these pages here. That, you know, yes, they're in a bad place. They have been carried away into captivity, but God says, I'm going to continue to bless you. I'm going to hear your prayers. Don't listen to the false prophets. Don't be influenced by those in Babylon that want to just assimilate you into their world. He says, I'm coming back and I'm going to take you home. That wonderful a blessing to think about. As God's people, as we go into the new year, if we're going to be an embassy in this world, we need to continue to deepen our understanding of God's word and what God's will for us is. Amen to what Brother Roger said. We're to study to show ourselves approved unto God. How do we know the will of God? Do we sit in some deep meditative state and wait for an epiphany to just pop up in our minds as far as what the will of God is? No, he's given us his word. He's given us his word that instructs us as God's people as far as how we're to live. You know, we need to move away from the cultural, quote-unquote, cultural Christianity that's dominated much of our society for the last couple of generations. You know, that cultural Christianity that just focuses on the exteriors and just focuses on going through the motions. No, God wants us to understand what his will is through his word. And one of the advantages of living in a modern-day Babylon is that those lines are real clearly drawn between what the things of God are versus the things of the world. You know, we may grieve our society today and the direction that it's gone in, but if you want to look on the bright side, we have an even clearer line of demarcation between what is godly and what is not godly. And my friends, the way that we better understand the will of God is through the study of his word, praying that God would open our eyes as we study and contemplate His Word that He has given us. And finally, I want you to understand that if we're going to be that city within a city, if we're going to be fruitful in the times that we're living in as God's people today, we have to remember not only are we to be students of God's Word, but we're to be loving our neighbors and loving our brethren as well. Now, you notice here as you go back into Jeremiah chapter 29, notice how much of this is relational. You know, you're to build houses and dwell with them. You're to take wives, have sons and daughters. You're to seek the peace of the city. He doesn't say here you're just to totally cut yourself off from everybody else. And you know that sometimes that sounds tempting, doesn't it? Especially if you deal with difficult people all the time. If you have a job where you deal with people that are complaining and always on your case, that sounds like a good option. But as God's people, we need to understand that we are called to cultivate meaningful relationships in the city that we live in. If you're going to seek peace in the city, you've got to be willing to have a thick skin, number one, and not be so easily offended, but to build relationships with those that you meet out in this world. Now, you say, well, why are we to be concerned with this? Because I believe as we understand God's Word, that there are others of God's people out there in that city that are seeking a spiritual embassy and looking for an ambassador of the things of God that they can be encouraged by.
Yeah.
In other words, what I'm saying is we're to be evangelistic in our words and in our deeds.
Amen.
And we need to find opportunities in our community to show that, yes, indeed, we are distinct from the world that we live in, and we are a city within a city, and we want to be that lighthouse for others of God's children that are looking for peace, looking for a foundation to build upon in this world that we live in today. Now, if we just isolate ourselves out here in the middle of nowhere and intentionally hide ourselves from the world around us, we're not going to be able to fulfill that commandment that God gives us. You know, I think about as the Old Testament winds to a close and the word of God is going to be cut off from man for a period of over 400 years. And the prophet Micah, remember what is in Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. We have that commandment that God's people are left with. Micah says, "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God?"
Right.
Now, how many of those admonitions there deal with
relationships?
To do justly, to love mercy. He's saying that, you know, speaking to Israel before the Spirit of God goes silent for a period of time until the Lord is born here on this earth in the time prior, he's saying that you're to be building meaningful, godly relationships through just living, through loving mercy. In other words, being merciful, through exercising humility. He says, in other words, you're to love in word and love in deed. You're to seek the peace of the city that you're in. And I want to tell you, as we go into 2018, We need to do that. Now, we understand, I hope we understand, this world isn't our home. But as long as we're here in this world, we need to be magnifying the Lord in everything that we say and do. I think about the quote, I read this a few weeks ago as I was studying and preparing for this message. You know, C.S. Lewis wrote one time, he says, "If we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy," he says, "the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world." Now, I love that quote. I saved that quote. I probably read it before, but it hasn't stuck with me. But here's the thing. I want to challenge you as a child of God to explore this different world while you live in this world and be a witness and a testimony to others of God's people through humility, through building godly relationships, through not assimilating with this world, but living distinct from everything else in this world, to shine the spotlight on God. I pray that He would bless us as we go into the new year to be that city within a city, to be that spiritual embassy, if you will, as we go into the new year. I pray the Lord would bless us as we strive to do this. Right after our handshake, so please don't go anywhere. It's very, very important. Very important.